Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, Amtrak's service may not be getting any better. They didn't get the funds. And if you're a Hollywood type flying through LAX, you're going to love Delta's new celebrity amenities.
At 3:20, Gwen Duncan joins us to help you understand the advantages and disadvantages of booking your travel on a charter air flight. Could save you a lot of money and grief.
At 3:35, Steve LaRosa is here to tell us about a fundraising event for a unique new attraction in our area.
Ever thought about taking one of those month-long, halfway-around-the-world cruises? Well, I have. At 3:45, we have details on one that might fit our bucket list.
And finally, at 3:55, we save the best for last with a heartwarming travel story.
It's a scorcher in Sacramento this Sunday, but not to worry. You're about to spend an hour with the coolest radio show in town. You're listening to The Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. I'm a traveling man.
Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Kicks, I want a Route 66.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
It's another fabulous Sunday afternoon and time for another edition of the Travel Guys. Tom Romano with you here along with Mark Hoffman, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And Mark, how have you been? A little bit of Oklahoma City and for heaven's sakes.
Yeah, a week in Oklahoma City.
How did that
and
go?
No tornado warnings. That was, you know, at this time of the year, if you go to Oklahoma City for a week and you don't have to hunker down in a storm basement somewhere, why then you've kind of beaten the odds. We stayed at a lovely hotel. There's a great old town in Oklahoma City called Bricktown, and where they really have developed their old town into something that is really a tourist attraction and a gathering place for the community and stuff like that. But it doesn't get you past the fact that when you get to June in Oklahoma, the weather on a good day is, you know, 85, 90 degrees, and the humidity is not far behind.
So
for those of us who are West Coasters, if you folks remember what it was like, what it rained here Tuesday, Wednesday, if you remember what it was like after the rain stopped, why then you can know what it was like, what it's like in Oklahoma City pretty much between now and September.
All right. Well, it's time, as we always do at the top of every Travel Guys radio show, we bring you up to date on what is known as the travel news. And with the travel news expert, Mark, what you got for us today?
Well, an alarm kind of goes up. A red flag goes up here. Lufthansa has decided that they are going to charge a 16 euro, which is about $18, online booking fee if you buy your ticket from a third party. So that means if you buy it from an online travel agency, you are going to pay an $18 fee on top of the ticket. Now, this is something that has folks have avoided for a long time, but Lufthansa has finally decided that, well, look, not only if you buy your ticket from somebody else, not only do they have to pay those people, but they also lose the opportunity, because if you're buying your ticket on Expedia, Tom, you're probably not getting hit up for all of those extra add-ons that the airline is able to do when you're booking from their website. So not only are they paying somebody else something to sell you the ticket, but they're losing the opportunity to get all of that ancillary revenue that you know, that has proven to be such a big deal and really is airlines' profits these days. So it remains to be seen whether this fee will hold up, whether other U.S. airlines will copy it. If you buy a Lufthansa ticket through United Airlines, which is they're both part of the Star Alliance, so far you're not paying. We're not seeing any posting of that fee as you look out to September tickets. So it's hard to say, but several other carriers, notably Air France, told Reuters that they are considering following Lufthansa. So all I can say to folks is that, and this will come to the U.S., if they get away with it and they're able to stick it on there, then that's what's going to happen. You're going to pay more money when you buy something not from directly from the airline.
So you're saying virtually if it's not bought from the airline, you're going to be paying the extra fee, whether it's Expedia, whether it's through an independent travel agency, pretty much.
Well, and that's the interesting thing is so far Lufthansa has said that they're not necessarily travel agencies won't necessarily have to pay this extra fee. So this is kind of a, you know, it's a first time thing. I remember about 20 years ago when Delta Airlines first reduced commissions to travel agents for selling airline tickets. And for a while, nobody really knew what was kind of going on or what was going to happen. So we'll just kind of keep an eye on this and we'll see if the U.S. airlines follow in Lufthansa's footsteps here of charging a fee. Speaking of airlines, Delta Airlines unveiled their new $229 million upgraded terminal at LAX. You may recall a couple weeks ago that we told you that United Airlines is going to spend a lot of money to upgrade their facility there. Well, Delta has completed a three-year refurbishment, and the highlight of it is the new Delta One, their premium check-in lounge. Now, Tom, celebrities like you, if you were flying on Delta, you wouldn't have to worry about, you can get in a special dedicated curbside entrance. You can go through a special security checkpoint. You go into a special lounge so that you won't be harassed by paparazzi, because I know that's probably a problem for you when you travel.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, just recently, I know that I'm a Sheraton guy and I'm a Starwoods, and I have a platinum membership now. And when I signed up, it mentioned something about lounge opportunities at different airports. And then you and I got all excited about it until you told me, well, you know, there really aren't any of those anywhere nearby. Got to fly international, and which I never do. So I paid extra for something I can never use. Now, might this be something I can use?
It might be.
Well, that's great.
It might be.
I finally got to the might be status. I'm on my way.
Yeah, exactly. Going away from planes and switching to trains, Amtrak hasn't had a whole lot of luck lately. They had that tragic accident last month back in Philadelphia. Now things have gotten a little bit worse. The House of Representatives passed legislation this week to cut Amtrak's budget by $242 million. Currently, Amtrak gets a little over $1 billion a year to subsidize debt service and make capital improvements. So while a few hundred million dollars is not their entire budget, it represents about a quarter of it. And for those folks who ride on Amtrak, such as the service is right now, what that means is that in proposed improvements and stuff to the service and track improvements and things like that will have to be put off. So it kind of means that Amtrak is not going to get the train service in the United States is not going to get a whole lot better over the next year if Congress has its way. On TravelGuysRadio.com, be sure to check this out. There is a list there of the 20 most visited museums in the United States, which I think is a really kind of a cool list. All of the top eight are in Washington. All the top seven, I guess I should say, are either in Washington, D.C. or in New York City. But a couple of them are in California. The 8th and 12th ranked museums are in Los Angeles, and the number 14 ranked museum is our own California Academy of Sciences down in down in San Francisco. So lots of cool things. You can go to TravelGuysRadio.com, and you can see the entire list of the 20 most visited museums in America. The airlines want to put your carry-on bags on a diet. It seems as though folks are pushing the edge a little bit with carry-on bags. Nobody would ever do that, right, Tom?
No. I've seen carry-on bags that look like cargo trunks once in a while.
Yeah. Well, there is a standard limit of 22 by 14 by 9 inches. The IATA, which is an airline association, the International Air Transport Association, this week suggested a standard size for all bags that is slightly smaller than that by about a half an inch to an inch on each measurement dimension, and is asking luggage makers to all get together and to honor these new regulations. It's kind of a proposed regulation. The idea is that if all the luggage makers made carry-on bags that were the same size, then they would all fit. It's a lovely idea. I doubt that it will ever happen, but
yeah,
it is a lovely idea.
You know, I've noticed that you go and you buy luggage and you get a set, and one of them looks like the carry-on, but there is quite a discrepancy in sizes from one so-called carry-on to the other. Do you think this is going to happen? And if so, are the airlines going to start enforcing it?
I think, Tom, it's a huge issue for the carry-on bags are a huge issue for the airlines for many reasons. It really slows down departures. Getting those last bags crammed up there and watching flight attendants try to wiggle things around. And of course, some flight attendants are very helpful and some are not. You know, some have the, you brought it, you pack it, you rack it sort of attitude. And, so it is an issue. There's no question it's an issue. And the things that people bring on airplanes. And what's amazing to me is that on Southwest, you can check a couple bags for free, and people still bring on more crap than you can imagine. So, you know, I don't know what the answer is. I really, it would be nice if folks were a little bit more adherent to the rules on carry-on bags. But it, with airlines charging people $50 a bag round trip to put them on the plane in many cases, you can certainly understand why people are trying to avoid that extra charge. So you know, I get it. I understand it, but it's not a good thing. It would be wonderful if the airlines would either decide to crack down on standardization of the whole thing or just come, you know, make their mind up to either enforce it or just ignore it completely. Because every time you check in online now with United, you are asked to acknowledge that you agree to the carry-on bag rules.
Right.
And yet when you get to the gate, nobody enforces them. So, and then one day when you get one agent who's having a bad day or decides that, you know, they've got a full plane and they look around the lobby and they can see all these bags there and they decide, all right, we're going to enforce it today. And then everybody says, well, I've been carrying this bag on the plane for the last 3 years and nobody ever said anything. So that's the problem that you face. And that, Tom, is your travel news for today.
I love that voice. I'm going to use that voice next time I say that. Because it was perfect. We are the Travel Guys here on KFBK. Coming up after the break, we're going to talk about the ups and downs of charter flights with Gwen Duncan. That's next here on the Travel Guys. Welcome back. It's the Travel Guys on KFBK. Tom Romano here with Mark Hoffman, and we are brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Time to bring on one of our favorite guests. It's, Mark, I'll let you tell folks, first of all, if it's the first time you had a chance to hear our guest. Mark, give them a little bit of background about who we're going to be talking with.
Well, Gwen Duncan joins us as a regular on the Travel Guys radio show here every couple of weeks. Gwen, we started out calling this the deal of the week, and now we're kind of finding that instead of offering you, you know, a specific deal, in some cases, we're just trying to give you information to make you a smarter traveler or to keep you to help you avoid a bad deal or getting into something that you can't easily get out of or, you know, something like that. This week's deal kind of fits into that category. Gwen Duncan from Cordially Yours Travel is joining us on the phone. And today's subject, Gwen, is charter airplane flights. And I'll bet you that a lot of the people listening on the phone don't really know what the definition of a charter airplane flight. I mean, everybody knows about, you know, going out and chartering a plane to take you someplace. But what about service where 150 people are getting on an airplane and it's a charter flight? Tell us a little bit about charter airplane flights.
Well, they can be organized by a travel agency, by a vendor, or by the airline itself. And some of the companies that you guys may be familiar with historically was like Sunfit. They would charter like Ryanair for a year or a different airline for the year. And came with restrictions. There were some good things about them. If you're flexible, they come with really reasonable fares, and everybody on this in the plane pays the same price. So there's some good things about charters, but very little. The bad things are that if anything goes wrong with your vehicle, chances are there aren't very many to replace that vehicle.
So if an airplane, if your trip is scheduled to fly on Tuesday morning, and there's some kind of mechanical issue with the plane or it gets hung up getting to your destination and gets way behind and they just decide, well, you know, we'll just drop that flight or the plane's on. You might not be able, if you're scheduled to leave on Tuesday and you're on a charter flight something happens and you don't go, what you're saying is you might not go for a couple of days or you might not go at all.
Well, that being said, what's the upside of charter flights?
The price, Tom, is really the biggest thing. And then the second biggest thing is that a charter flight, for example, you might be able to get a charter flight from Sacramento. Here's a perfect example. When they do the capital-to-capital thing every year, there's generally a charter flight from Sacramento taking all the folks from Sacramento to Washington, D.C. So it leaves on a specific day at a specific time and takes those folks back there. And then in a few days, when they're ready to come back, the plane ends up back in D.C. and brings them back home.
Yeah, so that would be those are called public charters, and they've got lesser rules than the regular charters.
Because you're kind of going with a group of people that you know, as opposed to everybody just buying a seat on a charter on an airplane where folks really don't know each other.
That's right. And getting your money back is an issue because it has to be considered what is called a major change. And a major change on most charters requires for you to get your money back that something has to go wrong outside of 48 hours. So that means I'm going to give you an example. We had a group of seven people insisting on going on a Norwegian Air. It was a new airline coming out of Oakland. They only depart L.A. and Oakland on the West Coast. And they were supposed to leave on May the 30th. And they didn't. They texted everybody and said they'll be leaving the next morning instead. Then they called back or did a text and said, no, we changed our mind. We found another plane. We'll leave that night anyway. So the people go to the airport and they say, no, it's changing and we're not leaving till 9:30 the next night. When they finally decide, hey, this isn't working, they were told it wouldn't leave until June the 2nd. That was 4 days later they got their refund. Problem is they still had a cruise or something that they had to hit, so they got published there. And they, instead of the $1,200 that they paid with Norwegian, they had to each pay $2,800 apiece to get on a plane to make their cruise.
So this charter stuff, Gwen, is a little bit of a gamble. It's kind of like doing a flight with Allegiant or some of these other guys who only go into a city 3 or 4 days a week or once a week or something like that. Because they're not going to refund you, right? They're not liable. They're not going to send you the money back you lost because you missed the first 3 days of the cruise.
That's right. That's right. And you can try all you want to try to get the money back, but the rules are just different. You've paid less, and so the lesser you pay, the more restrictive the fare, and the rules change. And you don't get your money back just like snapping your finger. It doesn't happen. And this family, it was seven people, end up costing $21,000 just to be able to board within 4 hours of getting to the airport on the second day.
Oh, my. Well,
yeah, so Gwen, it's just terrible.
Yeah, now, and here again, I'm guessing, unlike, your normal air flights and the opportunity to buy vacation insurance and that type of thing may not apply to the use of charter flights. What do you know about that?
Well, that's true. Now, the charter flights do sell insurance. Many of them will sell insurance. And they're not that expensive. It's just that when you buy insurance through them, it never covers pre-existing. And they've got a lot of other rules, and everybody makes their own rules. So you have to really read through to see what you're buying, because the insurance may only cover delay, or cover an interruption or something.
And publicly available travel insurance does not cover charter flights.
That's
because
right.
They already know that. So really, the takeaway from this to our listeners really is, when you're getting ready to go on a trip, if somebody's not telling you the name of the airline or the name of the airline is one that you don't recognize, then you need to do your homework, because you may be stepping into a big pile of goo. Because if you agree to go on a flight that is not a for sure. Now, if you're going 4 days before the cruise leaves, or you're going on a vacation that doesn't have any particular timing to it, then that's what these flights are for. That's why people go. Or if you're going with a specific group someplace on a specific charter, we want to really make it clear that's not really what we're talking about here. We're talking about public charters that are available to the public to buy into, and just it's buyer beware. It's like, Gwen, it's like we were telling folks with Spirit Airlines and Frontier Airlines here a few weeks ago, and I don't think we can say this often enough, when you're buying an airline ticket, most of the time, you get what you pay for.
That's right.
You might wander into a great sale. Southwest and all the airlines had a great sale week before last, and everybody got a great price on a ticket for 24 hours. There were some great deals there. But the reality is that if you're looking at a plane fare and you're saying, wow, that's just an incredible deal, especially since the flight leaves in 2 weeks, I can't imagine how they can afford to do that price. Well, it may very well be that there's a reason that it's not completely on the up and up. So do your homework. How do you do your homework to find out about a charter carrier, Gwen?
And this is the saddest thing, is there isn't enough out there about them. You don't hear about those disasters that happen with Norwegian unless you see somebody on television complaining about it. So it makes it really, really difficult. I've got two things I wanted to tell you. With charters, like most airlines, they work on what's called load factors. And it could be that they don't have enough people on that particular flight to actually take off to make it cost effective. So they just cancel the flight. They'll just cancel the flight. And so then you're stuck. And or you'll see when they're at the airport, all of a sudden you see these fares are even lower than what you paid because they're trying to fill the plane. And people say, hey, I paid my money 2 months ago or 3 months ago, mm-hmm. and now I could buy it right now for this much. Well, they've got a choice of some of these people getting cheaper and filling the plane or the flight just being canceled.
And, Tom, you know the deal is that on a public charter, the rules allow them to cancel for any reason up to 10 days before departure. And then, of course, you've got to get your money back. So if you're flying on a charter airline, another thing that we can really tell folks, Gwen, is use a credit card for payment. Try not to pay cash or by check, because then you'll at least have the protection of the credit card. If something funny happens, you'll at least have a neutral third party to step in and talk about it. All right. Well, enough about charter flights. Oh, well, listen, this is good information, because it's summertime and people start doing goofy things, or they let someone else make the arrangements for them, or they're not paying attention. And then suddenly they're like this family of yours, and they're out $28,000 in order to save the rest of their vacation.
Yeah. I mean, it's ridiculous. But people, you know, they say they want the cheapest flight, and you tell them and you warn them, you can do everything you can. But sometimes money is the decision factor, and value should be the decision factor.
Gwen, you have sent me a wonderful list here of the good and the bad for charter flights, and I'm going to go ahead and post that with your blessing at travelguysradio.com. You can go there, and there'll be just a link to it'll say Gwen Duncan's Deal of the Week, and you can look on there and you can see all these things about charter flights. Just file it away somewhere. If you're one of the folks who might someday take one of these, why, someday it might really come in handy for you. Gwen Duncan from Cordially Yours Travel, thanks for joining us today on the Travel Guys.
Thank you, guys. Bye.
Hi, we are the Travel Guys here to, buyer beware when it comes to charter flights. After the news, Travel Guys road reporter Steve LaRosa joins us to take us to a mysterious, magical place for a local fundraiser. That's right after the news next here on the Travel Guys.
Garden party to reminisce with my old friends, and the chance to share old memories and play our songs again.
It's the Travel Guys on KFBK. I'm Tom Romano along with Mark Hoffman, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. A little garden party music in the background. And for good reason, we got our special guest, Steve LaRosa. Steve, of course, is Travel Guys road reporter, and I guess we're going to be going to a garden party would be the thought. Mark, how you doing?
I'm doing just fine.
Steven, how you doing?
I feel like I'm going to reminisce with my old friends.
Yeah. By the way, are you a Ricky Nelson fan? You remember Ricky Nelson?
You know, Tom, true story, I saw Rick Nelson at the Old State Fair in the cow pens or whatever the heck it was. Opening for him was Linda Ronstadt, and her backup band were the guys who eventually became the Eagles. And that's today's trivia moment, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow. That was a pretty big name drop there. I remember the night that Casey Kasem on American Top 40 told the story about the song Garden Party. And
now you're going to have to share it with us.
Well, it really is about he played Madison Square Garden, Ricky Nelson did, and he went to a rock and roll revival. And he tried to play some songs that were new songs and things that, you know, he'd been working on and new stuff and introduce it to the audience. And they just basically booed him off the stage. They only wanted to hear the old songs that he had done. So he wrote Garden Party, which ironically became a number one top 40 song. And it was all about him being disappointed and his fans being disappointed, and then him not being very happy with them at Madison Square Garden one night, the garden party.
So and now you know the rest of the story, which now which now takes us to the reason that Steve's on the air and then we played.
Yeah,
the
now that we've
party.
Wasted 20 minutes here, why we'll thanks Steve for calling, and we'll talk to you. No, folks might wonder why we're talking about a garden party is because there is a garden party. That's the point of all of this. It's a fundraiser for the Future Museum of Wonder and Delight. And this is a pretty cool thing. I suspect that there is more than one person listening to this radio show right now that is going to be going to the Museum of Wonder and Delight when it opens. Steve, tell us a little bit about the museum and give us some background here. Help bring us up to speed.
Well, the museum is going to open up in historic old Folsom. If you guys are familiar, I'm sure you are, at the lower end of Sutter Street there. They're going to house the collection of Professor Dolph Gatelli, who is actually an internationally renowned collector of 19th and 20th century toys, folk art, games, and much more. I mean, this guy has done exhibitions at various museums all over Northern California, and I dare say all over the country and in Europe. And his stuff is really incredible. He's known as Father Christmas. He also has a great Christmas collection of toys and stuffed animals and things like that. But he's finally got a home, and this place is going to open up in September, on September 11th, and they have a whole grand opening weekend they're going to have that weekend. But the big fundraiser for the Museum of Wonder and Delight is the Garden of Wonder and Delight fundraiser, and it's going to be Saturday, June 20th from 2 to 6 p.m.
Now, I understand the interesting part about this particular event is it's going to be at a secret location. Now, I'm guessing, how are people going to find it if the location is secret?
I'm glad you set me up on that one, Tom. Thank you very much. It's actually going to be held in this beautiful two-acre garden in Granite Bay, and I've been to this place. I describe it as like the grounds are like a miniature Hearst Castle.
Wow.
The way people are going to find out about this place is when they buy a ticket, and I'm going to tell you very quickly how you can get tickets. The address of the location of the garden party is going to be on the ticket.
Okay.
Now, if I can tell you the quick phone number where you can get tickets, there's a couple of ways
why not
go about it. Besides accessing the Travel Guide website, you can call 916-985-2707. That's 916-985-2707. I think you can also get tickets at various Green Acres locations, the garden store in Folsom, Roseville, and Sacramento.
How much are tickets to this garden party, Steve?
Thank you for asking. They're $50 in advance and $60 at the door. They have been on sale since May, so they're going fast. Time to get your tickets now.
And Steve, so what does $50 get you?
You're going to be able to tour this magnificent garden,
right.
And there's going to be a lot of celebs hanging out in the garden. And when I say celebs, they're all fictional characters, from the Mad Hatter
yes.
to Alice from Wonderland, the Red Queen, Lewis Carroll. All these costume characters are going to be strolling the grounds. There will be music there. There'll be light hors d'oeuvres. And as you go through the garden, there'll be a number of different settings, everything from a Mediterranean setting to a Mexican setting. There's all these various different themes. And there's this rose garden that's incredible. They have over 600 different roses in the rose garden.
Now, the idea of this, by the way, welcome to the Travel Guys. We're talking with Steve LaRosa, and we're talking about a garden party, a fundraiser for a new museum up in Folsom called the Museum of Wonder and Delight, which is going to open in September. This fundraiser is next Saturday, the 20th, in the afternoon, in case you want to go. Now, Steve, this sounds like sort of an adult affair for a museum that's going to open for kids of all ages when it opens in September.
Yeah, it really is. A lot of people in the Sacramento area in Northern California are very familiar with Dolph Gatelli's collection, and I'm sure they've seen many of his Christmas exhibitions. It really is something that all ages will enjoy when that museum opens. And he, in fact, at the Garden of Wonder and Delight fundraiser, will have a few of his items there. He's creating a tablescape with a number of his items that people will be able to look at and see an example of the kind of stuff you'll be seeing in the museum.
It sounds like fun. It is next Saturday, so if you want to go, tickets are still available. Go to travelguysradio.com, and you can get a link there, or if you're holding a pen in your hand right now, the phone number to call is local 916-985-2707, or Green Acres locations in Folsom, Roseville, and Sacramento can give you tickets, $50 in advance, $60 at the door. I want to go to the museum. I'm not going to be in town for the fundraiser, but I really want to go to the museum. So I hope when it opens, maybe we can, Tom, maybe we'll go out and do a Travel Guys walkthrough or something.
That works for me.
Okay, so this fundraiser is Saturday afternoon, the 20th, from 2 to 6. Tickets still available.
I'll be looking for the White Rabbit myself. We are the Travel Guys right here with Steve LaRosa. Thanks for joining us, Steve.
Thank you, fellas.
More to come. Right here on KFBK.
Whether it's farm to fork,
so good,
or the food truck frenzy, local is in. Fresh fare from folks who know the area. You could say the same thing about the KFBK news team. They have a unique insight on Sacramento because they live here too. The stories that touch your life touch their lives. Newscasts at the top and bottom of every hour. Updates when necessary. News Radio KFBK, 93.1 FM and 1530 AM.
You found us. We are the Travel Guys on KFBK. Mark Hoffman to my left. I'm Tom Romano. We're brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And, you know, Mark, a lot of people, especially when it gets time to retire, and they say, well, I think I'm going to retire. And you know what I want to do? I want to go on a really long cruise. I want to maybe sail around the world. The question is, yeah, is do people do that? And do you have any trips like that with Sports Leisure Vacations?
Well, there is a halfway around the world trip that takes about a month coming up here very soon. Holland America is offering it, and it leaves in September. Sails from Seattle all the way to Singapore. And joining us on the line is Michael Downer from Sports Leisure Vacations. Hi, Michael.
Hey, Mark. Hey, Tom. How are you guys doing today?
Doing great. You see how I kind of sort of set that up, but I really knew you had Michael coming up on the show.
Well, and Michael is, you know, Tom, this is really interesting. We talked a little bit about this last week about the concept of people taking off on a cruise ship for, this is a whole month out in the ocean. Michael, what kind of person goes on a month-long cruise?
Well, an adventurous person, and you know, a person who wants to see things that you wouldn't normally see, scratch some things off your bucket list, and someone who likes to be taken care of and being able to go places in a luxurious manner.
Now, what creates this opportunity for, I mean, do cruise lines just move ships around the world on long-distance cruises like this, or is this kind of is there something special about this particular cruise?
Well, this particular cruise is on the Staten-Dom, and it's the last voyage of the Staten-Dom as a Holland America ship. It is being sold. So the Staten-Dom is a unique ship these days because she only holds 1,260 passengers. So she's a small ship in the realm of the large super ships. So it's a very intimate way to travel. I'm very sorry to see her go. In fact, we did a trip through the Panama Canal on her earlier this year.
You know, Tom, it's interesting. Here we are talking about a ship that holds 1,200 people, and we're talking about how it's become outdated because it doesn't hold enough people.
Wow.
because it's too intimate.
4,000 people on some of the ships.
Yeah, for sure. So this trip that sails from Seattle, right?
Correct. It sails from Seattle down through the South Pacific and ultimately ends up in Singapore. But along the way, you'll stop in the Hawaiian Islands. You'll go through in the Marshall Islands, Micronesia, Guam, Saipan, a couple stops in the Philippines, in Malaysia, some just ports that are more unusual than you would normally see on a cruise line itinerary.
Now, the trip ends in Singapore, and is there like a little bit of a post? Because I've heard that's a really incredible city. Is there an opportunity to see a little bit of Singapore, or do you come right home, or how does that work?
There's a two. What we've got put together is a two-night package in Singapore, so and along with local touring, so you'll get a very good chance to spend some time and see a lot of Singapore before you come home, and actually rest up from that long sea voyage that you had getting all the way to Singapore.
That's my question, Michael. You mentioned you take off from Seattle. How long from one particular port to the other? What is the longest period of time where you're like at sea before you land and dock at another port?
Well, that would be in the beginning portion of this itinerary. You sail out of Seattle, your first stop is Vancouver, and then you spend 6 days at sea before you arrive in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, you basically are in port virtually about every other day. There's one other section where you're at sea for 3 days, but really a day or two at sea at a time between ports.
I see. And how does a traveler that's going to be gone that long pack and plan? And what kind of accommodations to maybe do some laundry and such and things to do on a ship like this?
Well, you pack carefully. You want to be able to, mix and match the clothing that you have. It'll be a little bit chilly when you start out in Seattle, but from there, the weather will be warm. So you're looking for warm weather clothes most of the way through. There is a laundry facilities on board the ship, so you can wash your clothes and do that. But
that
really
was going to be my next question, was how do you pack 30 pair of underwear? So fortunately, you don't have to do that.
Well, knowing you, Mark, you always have that one pair that
just
you can wear for
travel
seven.
Travel underwear. There you go.
The lucky underwear, absolutely.
The 7 day underwear. You could just rinse it out 5 times and you'd be all set. Think of the space that you would save. So, Michael, I've pulled up the itinerary here, and it looks pretty cool. There's 3 stops in Hawaii.
Right.
What Tom's talking about, the five, 6 days at sea until you get to Hawaii. But then after that, there's pretty much a stop every 2-3 days.
Exactly.
A lot of these are places that aren't normally offered on cruise itineraries, too, which makes this kind of a unique voyage. The Mariana Islands, Guam is a fairly common stopover, but spending a couple nights in Singapore at the end, I hear that is just really a wonderful, magical place.
If you've never been to Singapore, you should go. It is a very, very magical place, absolutely.
Michael, on a ship like this, you indicate this is a much smaller ship, and that's probably why it's being retired. But then again, I thought the popularity of smaller ships was on the rise because of more intimacy. Is that a different kind of ship, or is this really kind of that mid-size? It's not small enough to be the small ship and not big enough to be the big ship. What's the story?
Well, it was at one point a mid-sized ship. Now it's considered in the small ship range. You do have the ships, you have the river cruises that will hold 160 passengers. You have the luxurious seaborne type vessels that hold 400, 500 passengers. And then when you get into a more of a mainstream cruise ship like Holland America Princess, then this is considered a very small ship at this point. Most the small ships these days are 2,000 passengers.
Besides all the port of calls and the different things that you're going to get to see off ship, what kind of entertainment and events and activities do we have on this particular cruise?
Well, basically, you're going to have all the amenities of a large cruise ship. You have the Broadway type shows. You have there's going to be a casino on board if you want to test your luck. So you'll have all the amenities of a larger cruise ship, just in a smaller, more intimate setting.
Well, Mark, I'll tell you, my wife would not be a big fan of me being on a cruise ship where there's gambling for 33 days.
For 30 days, but Tom, really and truly, this entire trip with the airfare, the 2 nights in Singapore and the like, is priced at about $6,000, which is about $200 a day. And that includes your airfare, like I said, and the post-cruise package. Single category is a little bit more than that, but that's a pretty good deal. I mean, if you're going to go on vacation for a month, you're going to be hard-pressed to only spend $200 a day on meals and everything. Michael, real quickly here before we let you go, if folks are interested in this cruise on the Staten Dam in September, departing from Seattle, they can reach you at the Sports Leisure office?
They certainly can. Absolutely. I'd love to hear from them. Any questions they have, I'd love to answer them and help them.
We'll put a link on our website at travelguysradio.com, and you can just look right down there and see Asia, month-long Asia cruise, and that will connect you to Michael. Michael, thanks for telling us a little bit about the trip and sharing a little bit of insight on what folks might do on a month-long vacation at sea. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you, guys. Talk to you later.
And you're listening to the Travel Guys on KFBK. Mark and Tom with you. Mark, what do we got next?
Well, buddy, it's time to have our Travel Guys Listen Up drawing here. Each week we have a lucky sports leisure traveler wins a travel card here on the Travel Guys. And this week it's Maggie Larson, who went to the Oregon Gardens with Sports Leisure Vacations about a week or so ago. So, Maggie Larson, if you're listening to the radio, call the Sports Leisure office Monday or Tuesday and claim your $100 travel card. And if we don't hear from you, then the jackpot will be $200 for a lucky listener next week. Thomas, on Monday night on Rob on the Road this week, we have...
Brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations, I might
add. Yeah, that's getting kind of repetitive here, isn't it? discover the beauty of some of California's national parks, including Yosemite, with Rob on the Road. That's 7 o'clock on Monday night. If you are a travel fan and you haven't caught Rob on the Road yet, well, I highly recommend it. It's at 7 o'clock.
KVIE, always television worth watching. Mark, time for our segment we call Save the Best for Last. So what have you got
We
for
look
us?
Around the travel world to try to find a really cool, a poignant, a fun story, something that might bring a tear to your eye. This is kind of cool. These folks at Southwest Airlines do these special things a lot, dare I say. I think it kind of sets them apart from their competition a little bit. This one, you can see a copy of this at travelguysradio.com. This is the headline on this one is Airline Reroutes Mom to Son's Bedside Even Before She Knows He's in the Hospital. Here's the way this story unfolds. A family medical emergency arose suddenly, and Southwest Airline employees flew into action to get a mother to her son's bedside 1,000 miles away before she even knew he was in the hospital. Peggy Ule's cell phone was turned off as she was preparing for a departure on a flight in Chicago at Midway Airport. Because of that, her family couldn't reach her to let her know her 24-year-old son had fallen into a coma in Denver, Colorado. But they were able to get through to the airline. The plane's crew canceled its takeoff, returned the plane to the gate, but even before Ule could get off the plane, the gate attendant was busy rerouting her on a direct flight to Denver free of charge. The attendant also made sure that she had a private waiting area, priority boarding, a meal, and even arranged to get her luggage to where she would be staying in Denver. Southwest said, quote, "The company is proud but not surprised by the gate agent's quick thinking." A statement from the airline says the company encourages workers to, quote, "follow their hearts," end quote, when it comes to helping passengers. Ule later told boardingarea.com, "I even received a call from Southwest asking how my son was doing, and he is recovering." Isn't that a cool story?
That is awesome. That is really awesome. I'm a little choked up. I'm surprised. I really am, because we spend a lot of time criticizing the airlines for good reason, for the lack of compassion and sometimes leaving 99-year-old people stranded with their wheelchairs on the tarmac, and then you see them do stuff like this. So congratulations to Southwest, and maybe that big heart that they have on their plane actually really means something.
Hey, and keep doing things like this, because it's. It's a culture at Southwest, so it's nice to see. Listen, Thomas, next week we've got to get out of here now. Travel Guys wrapping up. Next week we will have Ed Perkins here, our favorite consumer reporter, and we're also going to do a little call-in thing with our listeners. Remember the Mother's Day thing we do with folks calling in about their favorite trip with their mom?
Yes.
Well, next week we're going to give folks an opportunity to tell us about their favorite trip with their dad and maybe win a prize from the Travel Guys. That'll be next Sunday at 3 o'clock.
Awesome. Yeah, Mark, you have a great week. Folks, you do the same. Thank you so much for spending a little bit of time with us. Be sure to listen during the week to KFBK, especially in the mornings, and you'll get a chance to hear Mark's travel tip of the week. You stay well. Thanks for joining us. And, Mark, see you next week.
Thank you, Thomas. Have a great week, everyone.